Tabby Upton is a counselor, writer, and media personality here in Chattanooga. Recently, she facilitated an artistic series hosted by Rise Chattanooga called The Soul of a Woman, focused on mental health for women and people of color, examining poetry, rhythms, writers, and musicians. I spoke with her earlier this month. Tabby, thanks for joining us.
It is great to be here.
We have to start with your beginnings as a counselor.
Yes, in my previous life, I was a counselor. I am still a licensed professional counselor, or AKA would be LPC here, for about 15 years worked as a counselor, first with children and then with adults and children. And I've worked in mental health centers as well as private practice, as well as with the military as a third-party contractor. And so I worked on military bases in Europe and in Central America, or actually the Caribbean. And that was quite an experience. And also worked in a jail before as well as a counselor. And so that part of my life still informs a lot of what I do in media. And it's been really amazing to see how you can wrap that around almost any career, really, as well. So,
and you are from this area.
I am. I grew up in Chattanooga, and during my middle school years, I actually lived in Ray County up in the country. My parents worked at a camp and retreat center, but then we came back to Chattanooga and I graduated from high school here. But I also have a passion for travel, so went to school in California and Colorado, was a Peace Corps volunteer, and moved around to other countries, traveled to other countries, and then would come back. Came back for a while, then left again, then came back again.
I know what that's like.
Yes, you can relate to that. I know you're from other places.
That's true.
Well, you're from Chattanooga.
That's right. That's right. And you mentioned the Peace Corps. You spent your service with the Peace Corps in Senegal.
I did. Yes. While you've done your homework. Yes, I, right after college, joined the Peace Corps. Basically, because I wanted to live in Africa. I wanted to see what that would be like. I wish I had a deeper goal of development, you know, things to do. But I was young and I just wanted to see the world. And so I joined the Peace Corps, and wow, did it teach me a whole lot. I was just talking about the Peace Corps too, but yet it taught me a lot. I lived in a Muslim country as a Christian, really learned what it meant to be an outsider, you know, but to yet be welcomed in to a different culture and just what it takes. It takes so much psychologically to do that. So I really have a heart for people coming to the U.S. and trying to make it in another culture. It is a difficult thing, but very enriching. So I learned a lot during that time. Have some crazy stories to tell as well. Hitchhiking and all kinds of stuff that went on during that time. That I don't recommend, but you know.
What's something that surprised you from your time there?
In the Peace Corps, you know what I was surprised by? People often think about places like Africa as dangerous based on the media that we get about it. And usually that's going to be about a war happening or a famine happening. But in the Peace Corps in Senegal, the time I was there, was an extremely peaceful country, and the respect people had for one another was so great that they would not allow you. Part of the culture with travel was that sometimes a person might be taking you from one place to another, but decide, I'm not going to be able to take you the whole way, so I'm going to bring you this far and give the rest of your fare to another driver who'll take you the rest of the way. Because I lived in a village that was 10 hours from the capital. And so when I went to the capital, it was a long way, it was a long trip. And so I didn't understand what they were doing at first, and I got really upset about it. But what I learned is that they would never strand a person. If they had to take you home with them and you spend the night with their family and they feed you themselves and give you a place to sleep, they would do that before they would ever leave somebody stranded. I learned that because I actually had to stay with, sometimes we were stranded just from errors that we made in our travel. Like for instance, I was traveling in West Africa in another country with some friends, and we thought we were going to meet up with some Americans who actually were not there when we got there. And if it weren't for the kindness of strangers who actually took us into their home, gave us their own bed and fed us dinner, we would have been sleeping on the street. We were that far out. And so the safety of that, the safety of hitchhiking. I hitchhiked sometimes without really meaning to, was just kind of out somewhere and needed to get somewhere, had to go with a stranger. Never, ever harmed. Never harmed. The one time I did have an altercation, it was with someone who had some mental problems. And that was the reason that there was an issue. But otherwise, the people, out of respect for you and the culture, would not dare harm a person. I think that was a huge surprise, because in our culture, it's very different.
As we have been reminded again and again and again, especially this year, in many different ways.
Yes, unfortunately so. I really hope, you know, it wasn't always like that in our culture either. And I really hope we can get back to that communal feeling that some cultures still have, that we are to honor one another and help each other, that we are connected to each other, and let's not harm each other. I hope that we can get back to that, because it's heartbreaking to see what's going on in our country right now.
Let's talk about the soul of a woman. This was something that you offered in partnership with the folks at Rise Chattanooga over the summer.
Yeah, it was something that kind of developed along the way. I was asked to host it as we looked at really poetry, Black women and poetry. And of course, RISE exists to bring the arts primarily to marginalized communities such as African-American community and women, Latino community. And so they just asked me to host it, I think as maybe a media personality, maybe someone who could communicate well. And then as we were looking at the poetry of Nikki Giovanni and Maya Angelou, in our discussions, we were connecting it back to our lives as women and as African-American women. And really, we started to talk about soul issues. We really went there with, how does this affect your life? Or can you connect yourself with this author and the things she's talking about? And it really became a cathartic thing for us. And so as we went on, and Shane said, hey, can you do some more of that? Can you weave in mental health, particularly with the arts, and come up with some things, I was like, wow, that's a fascinating concept. I think I was starting to do it without even realizing it, but he kind of made it present, like, let's weave this. And so then we did poetry of the Bible, and we looked at lament. We looked at lament poetry, the prophets, and Jeremiah, who's called the weeping prophet, and the Psalms, where David is weeping and he's deeply depressed. And we examined those poems, and we talked about the way we were in the country today, and where were we lamenting and grieving things. And then we talked about love, and we explored love poetry, and we've talked about musical prodigies. So we kind of spun over into that, and we've looked at the lives of people who were creating some really amazing music out of painful circumstances in their lives. And then we took that into ourselves, and what are the ways in which we have had pain, and what beauty can we create out of that? What music can we create out of that? It is a creative way to teach mental health, really, how to express yourself, how to release emotion, how to have joy, how to see beauty. All of those are related to our mental health. And so it's been a joy to do it, and to do it in a community where we are less likely to seek counseling, African-American community particularly. We are much less likely to seek counseling. And so this is a way to bring counseling to people through the arts. And it's just fantastic.
This was baked into that poetry dating back millennia, before there were the words mental health as we now associate them.
That's exactly right. Poetry is so cathartic and emotional. And, you know, I wrote poetry as a child. I don't really write it anymore, but I did write lots of poetry, even entered it in contests and writing contests. And it was a way for me to become, really, because a way for you to explore your feelings, understand yourself better, and become who you are, how to see the world even, and express it in a beautiful or creative way. And so it is like a way to have good mental health. Writing, any expression of the arts really is a path to having good mental health. I mean, it's not the whole story. Sometimes you do need a counselor or a psychiatrist or, you know, somebody professional. But when you create, something happens inside of you that sometimes is like a spiritual experience. It comes out of you and you don't even know that was in you. You discover and something blooms and you didn't even know how it got planted. And, you know, it's really just an amazing experience to create. And so it is something that can have a healing effect on our lives.
You've shared a few prominent names in poetry in the past few minutes. I'm just wondering, who inspires you, poet or beyond poetry?
Wow. Well, because I haven't really been into it as far as the study of it recently, but I would say Maya Angelou would have been one of those, because I actually had the privilege of seeing her perform her poetry as a young girl. I was in second or third grade. She came to Chattanooga, and I didn't know who she was. I didn't know why we were going to see this woman. And they took us, they exposed us to her. We got to see her perform her poetry, and I never forgot her. You know, I literally met Maya Angelou on stage in elementary school and then realized how famous she was later, you know. So she's a huge influence. I read her stories. I know why the caged bird sings, and some of the other stories, biographies are, I guess, semi-autobiographies of her life, partial autobiographies of her life. And I resonated with her because she also lived in other countries and traveled and expressed herself in many different ways. You know, she was a dancer and, you know, she was a non-conventional woman. So I would say she was a huge influence. Growing up also, Margaret Walker was somebody I read a lot. I really enjoyed the things she shared in her books about Black culture in the South. And I'm trying to think of maybe some more modern influences. When I was in the Peace Corps, I did read African writers, and I had never done that before that I remembered. And so that was really interesting. I remember reading So Long a Letter. I think her name was Mariama Ba. She was Senegalese, so I read that when I was in Senegal, and she wrote about her husband taking a second wife. That's a reality, you know, that I was just learning about, you know, in this whole different culture where polygamy was practiced. But she talked about it from the perspective of somebody who was once in love with her husband and who didn't really want him to do that, and how that made her feel as a woman in that culture. And so it just really expanded my thinking about womanhood and marriage and all that, and culture. Those types of writers really have helped me.
What are you working on now?
Well, I wish I could say I was working on something. I'm working on getting started to work on something.
Okay.
I do work in media, so I guess every day I'm learning how to stay up on current events and speak into that from a spiritual perspective, because I do work in Christian radio right now. But I also am working on an idea with a friend who's a fellow counselor about doing some stuff on racial trauma and healing from that. So there's a few people out there doing that, but not a whole lot. We want to write about that and talk about that, maybe use media like Facebook, you know, videos to help African Americans and white Americans and other groups in America go inside and understand how race and on the tensions that we're seeing today and the history of our nation, how that's affected us personally, and how to move forward with that. Because I feel like in some ways, what we're seeing out in the streets, when I say the streets, I just mean out there in public, you know, I guess it's being acted out what we feel on the inside, but I don't see a good solution happening or being presented to people to heal internally and be able to move forward internally. I feel like we need more conversation about that. So that's what I'm working on, I guess, right now.
And if people want more information about Rise Chattanooga, they can go to risechattanooga.org.
And on Facebook, Rise Chattanooga on Facebook. Yes.
And then beyond that, if people want more information about you and to keep up on you, where can they go online?
You could go to my media Facebook page, which is Tabi Upton Speaks. And I try to post what I'm doing in anything media. Or if I were speaking, I'm not really speaking anywhere now because of COVID, but speaking engagements in the future, and then what's happening with me on media, I try to post it on that Facebook page. I just started that this year. So Tabi Upton Speaks on Facebook.
All right, Tabi, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.